You're listening to The Art of Imperfect Adulting. I'm your host, Amy Stone. Here, I share stories from real people navigating the adventure that I call adulting. Are you ready? Me too. Let's do this.
Hello, friends. In this episode of The Art of Imperfect Adulting, I'm going to introduce you to Kathy Stowell, who grew up in a city in Canada, but as an adult decided to move to what she describes as the middle of nowhere, heart of everywhere, and live on a hobby farm, complete with a miniature cow. A miniature cow, you guys. And then 10 years later, they decided to move back to the city. This is a great story about choices and changes. Let's do it. Kathy Stowell, welcome to The Art of Imperfect Adulting.
Hi, Amy. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited. Are you ready for a fun chat?
I am so ready. I was looking forward to this for a while. I cannot wait to share my story and connect with you.
Oh, that's good. All right. So we are going to talk about farming and city life, which is going to be a lot of fun. Before we dig in, Kathy, I want to let you tell the audience a little bit about you to start making that connection. So let's start with easy questions like, where do you live today? And as much or as little as you want to share about your family.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So we live in beautiful Nelson, British Columbia. Okay. So we're only about 3 hours north of Spokane, just to give you a visual on a map. So we're in Canada. It's a very mountain town. So like a lot of like outdoorsy types. It's like my soul location on the planet. I never want to move from here. We found this place, my husband and I, before we got married. And every time I got closer to the vicinity of this place, I just felt like my energy lift. And I was like, I need to live here one day. So that's part of my story. And our kids now, they both just had their birthday. So I think it'd be the first time I get to say this out loud. I have a 16-year-old and a 20-year-old, which feels crazy to say out loud.
Very nice.
My youngest is the boy. My eldest is a girl. I live with my husband. We've been together for 24 years. And we have two wiener dogs, Angel and Wilbur.
I love it.
Yeah. One of the wieners is scratching behind me. I'm not sure which one is driving me nuts, but that's so cute.
So have you heard of like that astrocartography? I think it's like tarot cards, but they draw the lines on the globe and tell you where you're meant to live. Have you ever heard of that? I've never done it.
I would love to do that. No,
right. I'd be super curious. I've never done it. I don't even think I know anybody who does it. I know this from seeing, you know, ads on social media that this is a thing. So it may not even be a real thing. All right. So true story about me, and then we'll talk about you. I took a career aptitude test as a sprout. My whole school did it. We were in middle school, and the results came back and said that I was supposed to be a farmer, which was hilarious to my father and to me because and all of my friends, because at the time I lived in New York City. So totally urban. I am an urban creature. So you shared with me before the show, we talked a little bit about you loving this location, but you had this idea of having a farm early on when in your relationship. Tell us a little bit about this dream.
For sure. So growing up, my father was a crop duster. So he had a plane. All his clients lived on farms. And sometimes he would take us as kids over the weekend and just like hang out on this farm. And I was so jealous. You know, I was telling the country kids, you guys are so lucky, and vice versa. They're like, no, you guys are lucky. So I've always just felt, again, just a piece of me awaken and come alive in that type of rural environment. I'm like super urban at the same time. And I could go both ways. So a super downtown girl living in the big city when I met my husband. And on our second date, and it was like immediately we met and we both like, it was instant recognition. It was like, okay, you're my person. And it wasn't that I moved in with him. I just basically wouldn't leave his apartment. And he's just like, baby, you should start paying rent. I'm like, okay. But on our second date, I knew he was into me because he was like, where do you see yourself in the future? And I couldn't believe I said this out loud. But I was 29 and I wanted to have kids like in my early 30s. I'm like, you know what I got to lose? I want to have kids and I want to raise them in a country setting because I think that
Okay.
would be so amazing. And then he just said, cool. Like he was into it. And then when I met his mom for the first time, like shortly after, she's like, so Crank says you guys want to live on a farm one day. I'm like, I think he's into me, right? So, and it just, from that point on, it was almost subconsciously we were keeping our feelers out for farm setups. And one thing led to another. And that's a long story, but we found raw land and we were going to build, like, we got really into permaculture and building, you know, a straw bale passive solar house, like just going like super at the beginning off grid and just like self-sustainable as much as possible. And, you know, we took workshops in straw bale house building. We, you know, we even hired an architect and who specialized in straw bale. And we got cold feet. We were about to build the straw bale house and anyways, I'm jumping ahead. So we made the move to the middle of nowhere, but the, you know, the locals call it the middle, the center of everything.
Okay.
And
So where
super
is the
remote.
city that you, so now you live in British Columbia. Is that where you grew up?
No. I was born in Montreal,
Okay.
but I grew up in Calgary, and
Okay.
that's where I met my husband.
So you, the
So
city we're talking about to start is Calgary, and then when
yeah.
you guys were looking at spaces, it's closer to where you are now.
Yes,
Okay.
yes, yeah.
Middle of nowhere, center of everywhere.
Yeah.
That is very, very cool. Your dad was a crop duster out of Calgary, which is when you fly the plane over the crops and drop
Yeah, and spray like
stuff.
toxic chemicals.
And
Yes.
so one, yeah, and so one of the questions I had for you is that, you know, when you were young, did you have family that was into farming? And is this a dream from when you were a kid? And both of those
Yeah.
things are true.
I think you're right. So my mom's actually from Peru, and my
Okay.
dad, yeah, my dad, that's how he met her. He was crop dusting in Peru, actually. And so we go to her home, and she grew up on a farm.
So
And
there is a
so,
family connection. Okay.
But in the Peruvian culture, that was kind of like not really cool to be a farmer.
Well, those are
You
like
know what
the
I mean?
Trevor, right? Well, those are like the Trevor Noah jokes where he's like, no, I don't go camping because that's the way
Exactly.
life was. So no, we're progressing.
Yeah,
So,
exactly.
all right. So you guys are doing the dream shopping, which is like for the
Oh.
farming. I mean, people have dreams like this all the time. Like, I'm going to move and do a homestead. I'm going to renovate a house, all these things. You guys have this dream of, and you have this vision of what you're calling a straw bale house. I don't actually know what that is. Can you explain that to me?
Oh yeah. It's almost like the walls for insulation, you actually use straw bales.
So,
So
like
like
back in the Middle
Lego
Ages.
bricks. Yeah. So you
Okay.
just
All right.
pile the straw like to make the walls and then you stucco. So the window sills are like super deep and it just
Okay.
has like a very kind of like you're inside like a little like adobe house or something. And the cool
Okay.
thing about it, no pun intended, it's like air conditioned in the summer. It's super hot outside, but you stay super cool inside. Same thing in the winter. We actually did end up getting a straw bale house, but we didn't build
Okay.
it. But anyways, but we
Okay.
end up, yeah, we did live in one. But it was so like just energy efficient. So we had a little wood stove and you would light it like twice a day and it would just be like hot. And I like my rooms really hot. It's kind of disgusting. You're coming down.
Listen, I live in Miami, Florida, so you're not going to outheat me.
Oh.
All right, so you have the dream, and then where we stopped in the story and the trajectory is you guys were looking and thinking of building a strawberry ha bale house from scratch, and you said you got cold feet.
Yeah. Okay. So it just came down to simplify, simplify, simplify. Because initially we shared this dream with our friends, and everybody's like, that sounds so cool. Let's all do this together. So we started a club. I came up with the name.
Okay.
It was oh shoot, it was the name crap. I called us crap, community related impertinent.
Okay.
And
Okay.
we met like once a month or once a week, I can't remember. And we were looking at maps of let's all buy a giant piece of land and build. And we showed them this middle of everywhere or center of nothing place. And they were like, let's do this. So we did all these field trips together and we found land. And we got cold feet, number one, then, because we backed out of the deal at the last minute. We're like, we can barely make a decision between the two of us. This is going to be tricky with like six other couples. They ended
Right.
up, though, like doing it, and they
Oh, they
built
did.
houses. Yeah, they did. And they've been living there for like, oof, man, like 12, 15 years now.
Okay.
And then we're like, we're just gonna buy this piece of land just down the street from y'all. And so we did purchase some raw land. And that's when we got cold feet number two. Because while we bought the land and had like our neighbor who's a builder saying, yeah, like I'll book you guys in for the summer. Meanwhile, we bought another house in town to live in while we dream our build house. And
Yeah.
then it was around that time, my daughter was a baby and I knew I wanted to have another kid, you
Yeah.
know? Valentine's Day was coming up, and that's when I like to conceive children.
You're not alone. You're not alone. If you have a birthday in November or December, your parents like Valentine's Day.
Both
Yeah.
my kids, November 14th, and my
There
son was due November 14th. Luckily, he was 6 days late. So, yeah, we just had birthdays here.
Yeah.
And so I said to Craig, oh no, he's the one who said, he's like, I don't think we should build this anymore. He was sweating about the cost. You know, they always
Yeah.
say if you're going to build, it's going to cost more and take longer than you anticipate.
That's
And then
right.
I
Three times as
was
much
thinking,
and twice as long.
So he was fretting. And I was thinking more energetically. I'm like, I don't want to be pregnant with this stress.
Yeah.
So it was really, that was the first kind of heartbreak. And I didn't think it was going to happen. But the universe was like, it was so weird. I looked online, I think like just a few days later, and the straw bale house we ended up buying came up for sale, and I could see how many people viewed it. It just got posted. And I saw my husband was coming home up the driveway, and I was like running outside with our baby. Get back in the car.
We have to go by my house.
And we walked in, and we were just again like the soul place. It was like our soul house. We were trying to play like, poker face cool when we're the guy was showing it was a private sale. But whenever the owner was looking away, we were like, we wanted it so bad. And it
That's
was the
so
same
good.
architect built it.
Oh, good. That's really
Yeah,
good.
it was really wild.
All right, so you call this in the description you gave me, you called it a hobby farm. And so my
Yeah.
next question is, what is the difference between a hobby farm and a farmy farm?
We did it just for fun. We weren't making
Okay.
money. And it was tiny. It was tiny. We wanted just enough milk to make my three triple shot lattes a day and Craig his yogurt for his granola in the morning.
Okay.
So I
All
got
right.
like a mini cow. I got like a tiny little
Oh, you
cow.
did not. That's so fantastic. I can't even. That's the cutest.
It's, yeah, she was really tiny. I am a researcher and I'm like, what's the best cow for like number one priority was, lots of fat content because I like a lot of cream and Dexter cow. So it's a tiny breed from Ireland and they're built for colder climate. So even her udders were like furry. Oh gosh, she was the cutest. Anyway, so she was our milk cow for I think like 5 years. I milked her every day and it was like anyway, so that's the definition. We weren't in it for the money. We were seeing how much of our own food we can grow. So it
Okay.
was for our own consumption and trading, We
Yeah.
had, an abundance of eggs, so we would trade stuff. And like even the community, there was a lot of people who were into this kind of hobby farming. And so we were learning from neighbors, like the old timers too. Yeah, it was really
So how
fun.
much, all right, so then the goals here were fun and, a connection to the land, it sounds like, and
Yeah.
subsistence, like producing, producing your own stuff. So you grew fruits and vegetables for yourself and you had a
Yep.
cow and
We had an
chickens.
apple orchid, chickens, giant garden. Yeah, so meat for
Wow.
babies. That was kind
All
of
right.
hard. Yeah.
I don't have any experience with that, but I can totally imagine that that would be a challenge.
It was
When
intense, yeah.
my kids were little, your mom is from Peru. When my kids were little, we had guinea pigs and we took a trip to Ecuador,
Yes.
and they eat guinea pigs there. It's a crop. And so one of my kids looked over and asked the tour guide. She was like, What are the names of these guinea pigs? And the lady
Uh-oh.
very kindly said, she's like, we don't actually name our food. And I
No.
was like, we'll talk about this back in the room.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So you guys lived in Calgary. When you buy this house and you start this hobby farm, you've got two small kids. Were you also like still working outside? Was it how much, and what was the divide? How much work did the hobby farm take? And were you still working remotely? Like, what was going on?
So when my daughter was born in Calgary, my husband immediately was able to work remotely from home.
Okay.
So that was nice. And then I was kind of like, oh, what am I going to do? So I didn't know what I was going to do for work, but I figured it out when we moved out there. So we were both working from home. My husband built actually a really cool office building like on the land. So he had a really cool commute to work, like
Just
through this
walking down
little
the path.
garden. It was really sweet. So he was really nice and close. When you do something you love, it doesn't feel like work.
Okay.
So the thing, everyone's like, don't get a milk cow. You're gonna feel like tied down to the place. But I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere. It's like even to this day, this area, it takes a lot to get me to leave. Like my kids have never been in a plane before. Oh no, my daughter, she went to Peru with me a couple of years ago, but my son's never been on a plane. We don't go anywhere. I ended up starting my business from that situation. I
Okay.
became a mom coach. So I was able to do that with my kids at home.
Yeah.
But the whole thing too with the cow, i.e., everyone's like, well, you have to get up super early to milk her. And the thing
Yeah.
is, you actually don't. You
Because
can
that's
train
the
them.
thing. My concept of farming, which is based on not farming, no one should come to me for farming advice. But my concept is that this would put you on the TV version of an agrarian schedule, very
Not
seasonal, dawn till dusk.
really.
And so, yeah, no, you can correct me because, like,
For
that's what I'm wondering. It's like,
sure.
how much work is it outside of,
Well, my husband and I got really passionate about the concept of permaculture, which
Okay.
is like a kind of like a gardening farming philosophy originating from Australia. And the tagline for it is the lazy man's farming. I'm
Okay.
totally like, it's not exactly it, but that I know lazy's in there, and I'm like, sign me up, right?
Okay.
And so the garden was designed for like all these different ecosystems to work together. So we would let the chickens like run in the cow pasture, and they would like eat all like the weird worms off the
Yep.
cow pad, yada yada. Like, everything's kind of like working with each other. But I applied that concept with the cow even. Like, if we wanted to go away camping, what we would do is we would just leave Daisy and her babies together. Like, her
They would
baby
take care
would
of
do the
themselves.
milking for us,
Yeah.
right? So if we were like a farm, you have to be really strict then. No, you got to separate the baby and the mama. And I'm like, dude, we practice attachment parenting.
Right.
Can't imagine. Like, no, they're practicing attachment parenting in this homestead.
You're like, I read the Dr. Sears book and I'm applying it to my cow. Like that's
Very bonded and had a very close relationship. It was
I
sweet.
love it. Oh my God, that's so good. All right. So I feel like choosing to have moving from Calgary and choosing to move to a remote location and having a hobby farm is a big choice. And so that's a sharp turn in your life, right? And then though, your story takes another sharp turn about 10, did you say, we haven't talked about this, but 10 years after you started, after you moved into this house and then this change happens. Tell us about what happened and you decided to move back to more of an urban location.
Oh, I love this opportunity to tell this story. I just feel like I don't get enough time. It's actually pretty magical in my head. So it's funny, not to give you too much information, but my husband turned 40, and this straw bale house we had was kind of like half built. Like we only had one door in the whole entire house. So our deal with the cow
Your
was
negotiation with the cow.
We're
Hello,
driving.
cow.
We're driving. I'm like, look, there's a Dexter cow for sale. Let's go look. He's like, we're not buying a cow. I'm like, we're just looking. And I'm like driving. But the deal was, I will milk every day because I don't mind. I actually enjoyed it. I would listen to podcasts and like milk.
Yeah.
And but he's got to muck. He has to help me like
Clean
keep
out
the
the
stall
stalls,
clean.
yeah.
He turned 40, and it was like he went through this like midlife crisis, but a really kind of cool one. He really got into rock climbing, which is something he was into when we first started dating. And I'm like, cool, let me try it. Anyway, so, but then he directed that energy to the hobby farm. But then he turned 40, he got into rock climbing. So he was gone. He was gone. So the TMI was there was no door to the bathroom. So I just like barged into the bathroom. He's sitting on the toilet. I'm like, dude, if you're not gonna muck the cow stall, like we might as well move into town. And town is where we live now, which is about 45 minutes away. And I heard myself say that out loud. I'm like, oh, town. And I imagined myself being an urbanite. Well, here, we only have 10,000 people here,
Okay, sorry.
but we were homeschooling our kids at that time using a Waldorf curriculum, and there's a gorgeous Waldorf school here in town. And I heard myself say that, and I imagined my kids going to this really precious home Waldorf school here. And I was just like, ooh. So then we started talking, like, maybe we should think about this. And then we started kind of justifying in our heads, like, our kids were at an age,
I was going to ask
it would
how
be
old they
easier.
were. So yeah, so really, your division of labor shifted. Like you made a
Yes,
deal when
maybe
you
that's
got the
it.
car, that when you got, I said car, but I mean cow. You got the cow and you had this division of labor, but then your husband went through the midlife crisis thing is such a weird set of words because it's not really a crisis, but it's
was
often
healthy.
like a, right, it's often a redirection of energy. And he was like, I would rather climb rock walls than clean up cow poo. And you were like, well, I would rather have somebody else deliver this curriculum that I love so much.
Yes. Ooh, you're really good at wording things well. Thank you.
The reframe
Reframe.
is the thing. All right. So you've got so when did this move happen in terms of like different time in the timeline comparison from now? Like when did you move back into the town?
Okay. The move was very dramatic. We have to save some time for
Oh
that
yeah,
story.
so no,
Oh,
you can tell the drama about that, yeah.
Okay, good. We moved 10 years
So
ago.
10 years ago,
About,
so okay, so 10 years on the farm, 10 years you've been back in the city. Okay, so tell us the story of moving out of the straw bale house and into the village.
So it was very emotional. Again, it was kind of like this dream, the
Yeah.
end of a dream and end of an era. It took us like a couple of years to do the move because we needed to find something perfect. And
Okay.
I didn't want to move right in town. I wanted to ease into it. I wanted to move to the outskirts. Anyway, it took us a long time to find a house we agreed on. Like, I swear to God, there was a poster of me in all the realtor offices. Like, do not talk to this crazy lady. I think I saw every single house for sale in town.
Beware, Kathy.
Oh, and I'm like, my husband's gonna love this. And he would shoot it down. So finally we found a house. We lived in it for a year before we moved into this house. And now this house, I love this house. We're going to be here for a long time. But anyways, so we found a house and we had the date to move. I think it was like July 7th or something like that, the first week of July. A week before we moved, my adorable godson slash nephew, he used to come visit with us. He was actually not a professional. He was a climber. My husband taught him how to climb, and then he ended up going in competitions like all over the
Okay.
place. Yeah. So he would come hang out with us in the summers. Oh, boy. This is very intense. I don't know how much further to go. Okay. This is what happened. So I took my kids and my nephew to the beach for the day. And then on the way home, we saw a plume of smoke and like from quite a distance, like probably from like, oof. Like from 5 kilometers away on the highway. I'm like, oh. And I joked. I'm like, can you imagine that's above our house?
Oh my goodness. So, is it your house on fire?
Our house wasn't on fire, but the forest above our
It's a
house was on
forest fire.
fire.
Okay.
And it was interesting because our next door neighbor was actually the chief farmer, fireman, the chief fire marshal, whatever, of our town. So I called him. I'm like, hey, Fred, is that a controlled burn above us? Like I see smoke. And he's like, I'll look into it. It turned out it wasn't. So it turned into a fire. And then for the next like 5, 6 days, my nerves were like, because we just
Yeah.
heard the planes, the helicopters, like dropping like
all the stuff.
orange liquid stuff all over above our house, like on our, and our, drinking water came from there. And I was just so on edge, not to mention we're moving
You're
like shortly.
moving and it's
And
scary.
emotional too. Like I had to sell the cow. Oh no. Yes. We're trying to sell Miss Daisy. That's right. People would come to look at her and I wouldn't be able to talk. I'd just be like bawling my head off the whole time.
Oh my
You
goodness.
milk someone for like 5 years. Like we were on the same moon cycle and everything. We're very, it
That's so good. Okay,
was
that's funny.
crazy. Anyway, so I was already like an emotional mess
Well, it's one of
and
the biggest changes that we go through moving, and then a fire is a natural disaster. It's an act of God. So, yeah.
for sure. So then what happened was, I can't remember the timeline. I think it was around those days, or maybe even that day. No, it was, I think it was a couple of days later. We always went to the beach. There's like a beautiful river that flowed through this area. It's like magical. Like it's so pure. Like you can swim and drink the water at the same time. And every day it was our ritual. The whole time we lived there in the summer, we would go for a swim. I would pull the kids on the chariot. We would ride our bikes, and then Craig would show up after work, and then we would switch. And I would ride his bike home, and then he would stay with the kids and then ride their bike. That was our little rhythm. So that happened that day. And my nephew came home from that little beach jaunt. He was so cute. He must have been only about 15 at the time. And he comes in and he's like, "Haha, something crazy happened at the beach." I'm like, "What are you talking about?" All these firemen came and said, "Everybody off the beach." What happened?
Right.
This is horrible. A tanker truck to fill up the helicopter with jet
Yeah.
fuel took the wrong road, and it wasn't meant for trucks, and it fell into this pristine river, and
Oh,
all of the
goodness.
contents of the jet fuel spilled into the river. It made national news. It was really horrific. So the firemen came, told everyone to come out. He said the jet fuel spill. And Craig said it was crazy because he said all the fathers all looked at each other, and then they all ran and did one final like jump into the river.
Oh my goodness, that is
So,
crazy.
and then Craig came home, and I'm like, "What's going on?" Like cousin Cammy's saying there's firemen, and I might start crying. My husband started crying. He's like, jet fuel's in the river, and he was bawling so hard. Hope he's not listening. And he said, "I feel like it's like my grandma dying all over again."
Yeah, I
And it
lost
was
it.
really harsh. And then that night we went to bed. I remember we had people over for dinner that night. And I remember I was so anxious I couldn't eat. There's all this food. I'm like, I have no appetite. And at 3 in the morning, my friend called and she's like, "Did you get the notice?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "They're going door to door." Everyone was getting evacuated at 3 o'clock in the morning because we got outside. Luckily, all our windows were rolled down because of the smoke would come in through our windows at night because of the air pressure push it in. So we were sleeping with all the windows closed. As soon as we opened the door, it was like bam, like jet fuel in the air,
Oh
like
my goodness.
so strong in the valley. So they had to evacuate, I think, like 500 people at 3 in the morning. Luckily, we got the last room that accepted pets because we had to bring our dog, and it was really just, it was so scary. And we'd be like driving, and there's like jet fuel in the air, and you could see like all these flames, like just like
Oh,
on the
that's so
ridge and
scary,
stuff.
Kathy. So
It was
scary.
so scary. And I honestly think I got high from like the jet fuel fumes because I felt like really out of it for a few days. And I think for a long time after that, I couldn't even get gas in my car because it triggered that kind of like, ooh, I got the shakes now just thinking about it. So it was so emotional just because, I don't know, like my friends were like, "You really should go back and do some kind of like bye ceremony with the children." But it was almost like I didn't want to take them back there ever again. Like I was really scared to go
Okay.
back.
So were you able to go straight from so that there's a lot actually there's a lot in that story because you were getting ready to move and make a big life change anyway, which was your choice. And then but the fire was not. And the threat on your home from the fire, that's a really big thing. So were you able though, and being displaced, Being evacuated and displaced is a
Yeah.
humongously emotional experience that I hope that most people who are listening never actually have to go through. But for those who do, it's really hard. And in the moment, right, you're just following
Yeah.
instructions. They're like, hey, you have to leave. And you're like, oh, okay. But it lingers, it lingers. And
Yeah.
we were
Oh.
displaced for a hurricane, not as
Wow.
urgently as yours. Like we were able to,
Yeah.
we knew it was coming and we knew our zone and stuff. But I
Scary.
always tell people, I was like standing out, it took hours to get ready. We took photos of the house. We walked away from the house, not knowing if we'd ever come back.
Yeah.
And that moment always sticks with me. And in to give full context, nothing at all happened in my house. I came home and it was exactly
Yeah.
where I left it. But that moment of walking away, it's like it's hard. It's emotionally
Yeah.
challenging. But did you not come back to that house? Did you move straight into your next transitional housing?
Pretty much, pretty much. We stayed at some friends, really
Okay.
kind friends. We stayed with them. This one friend like lent me underwear for my daughter because I
Right,
just
because
was
you had
like
nothing,
middle of the night,
right?
I was just throwing random things
Right.
into a bag.
You got there and you're like, I have 27 shirts and no pajamas. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was asking my friends, I'm like, can we like move into the house? We were gonna rent a house a little sooner. She's like, I can't, my tenant. So we had to, we're kind of in limbo for a little bit, but yeah, after that point, Craig's like, it's fine. I just really was reluctant to go back on many
Sure.
levels. So yeah,
You
so
had made
I
the
just went
break.
back to pack, and then yeah, when everything kind of settled a bit, we went back and just basically moved from there.
But your house was not burned up in the storm, in the
No,
fire.
it wasn't
Okay.
damaged.
And the cow was okay. Daisy was
I
okay.
know. There's this lady, and we're friends on Facebook still. Because everybody in Facebook was like, oh my God, we got evacuated. And I said, everyone's like, can you do this? Can you do that? And I said, can someone just like huck over like a bale of hay over the fence for my cows? She had her baby too then. And yeah, this lady, Crystal, I'm forever grateful to her. I'm grateful to the lady who called me at 3 in the morning
Yep.
because Fred never did. Just like, Fred, like, why didn't he knows I get very anxious, but anyways. And I'm also forever grateful to Chris for just like, I can take care of your account. Like, oh, thank you. Yeah.
That
So,
is very, very nice. All right, so that was 10 years ago-ish. Do you guys ever talk about going back to farming or your city
No.
now for the future?
Sometimes I don't know. No, between you and me, my husband and I haven't spoke of it. I say
Okay.
to my friends, I'm like, part of me would love to end up in this area.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I'm a city slicker now.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. So come, you mentioned this a second ago, but we'll come back to it. So when you moved to the rural location, you were not in a corporate job. You set up your business, the Mom Coach Club. I would love to give you a chance to tell people about what that
Yeah.
is and what you do.
Totally, totally. Yeah. So moving from the city, my daughter was a baby and my son came 4 years later, and I started a blog just kind of talking about, what me and the kids are up to. And then it
Sure.
turned into like a mommy blog, basically. I was hyper crafty on the farm, doing a lot of like knitting, sewing all my clothes, lots of like yogurt, butter making, just lots of things.
If
So
you're gonna have a farm, go
yeah,
all in, is what I
you
say.
gotta
I
start a
don't have a
blog
farm,
for
so I
sure.
buy my yogurt, but.
So, I love blogging, I love writing, I love taking photos, and I love the exercise of gratitude, like just like taking pictures of my surroundings and being like, oh my God, how blessed am I? And then just kind of reflecting on that. And I'm like, how can I monetize this? Because really, there's no like legal industry in that area. So it's
Okay.
just kind of like, what am I going to do for work? So I landed on, first I became a simplicity parenting coach.
Okay.
And then I became a creativity coach because I wanted to help moms. The ones I was connecting with on my blog, because they were always asking me, how is it you're so like productive and prolific? Because I was like, I had Etsy shop selling things and homeschooling, and I still seemed like I had a lot of energy. And so it came to like always checking in, how can I simplify? And that creativity coaching component was about releasing perfection,
Yeah.
and stuff like releasing perfection. perfection, and just taking messy action and just protecting that time, even just like little chunks of time here and there add up. So I became a mom coach. I just kind of smushed the simplicity and the creativity pillars there. And I started coaching moms. And then my clients were saying, I want to support moms too. So I actually opened up a coaching training program for moms called Mom Coach School.
Okay.
And that's something I still offer to this day. So I started it in 2014. So it's like been 10 years. And Mom Coach Club is a monthly membership I offer for $9 a month. And what that is, it's all things mom coach business. So I have a ton of trainings in there for all aspects of your business. And I offer new templates for workshops you can bring into your community. Go to your library and say, I'm going to be hosting a time management for moms workshop. So just
All the things.
templates, all the things are in there. And I also work with my clients privately one-on-one.
That's spectacular. That's really, really good. That's good. All right. And you have a wonderful offer that you're sharing with the audience today. I'm going to read because I have it in front of me so that
Yes,
Kathy doesn't have
please.
to pretend to remember it. It is called Find Your Life Purpose as a Mom Coach. And so this is for people who are mom coaches or want to be mom coaches, right?
They're
That's
thinking
where.
about it,
Okay,
maybe.
very good. All right. So this is a 2-hour workshop where it's to help you find clarity on what your purpose as a mom coach might look like. Normally, this is $67, but if you use the link in the show notes or in the email, because you'll be a subscriber of Imperfect Adulting, you get 75% off. So that is a fantastic deal. And I want to say thank you for making that offer to the audience. I
You're
really love
welcome.
that. I really love that. Okay, so now we're going to wrap this up with three rapid fire questions. These are just for fun. They're not about anything else we talked about. And the idea is that you try and answer them with just a couple of words. Nobody that I ever interview is concise enough that I am the problem. I am the reason it doesn't work. But anyway, that's the goal. That's the goal. Okay.
All right.
All right. So this, I like, so and I wrote these before I knew you because this is our first conversation. So I didn't know. So let's see if these are any good. All right. So, by any chance, did you have a favorite TV cartoon when you were growing up? And if so, what was it?
TV cartoon. I had a favorite TV show.
Now let's go with that.
Okay, let's go with that. For some reason, I'm obsessed with Donnie and Marie, and I was obsessed with the fact that Donnie was obsessed with purple socks.
Very good. All right, very good. When you said that you with the Waldorf and the homeschooling, I was ready for you to be like, nope, no TVs never. So, but all right, here we go. Next one, also on an entertainment theme. So we'll see if this is a hit or a miss. Do you like movies? And if so, what is the genre of your favorite type of movie? So not your favorite type of movie, but what type of movie you choose as a favorite, like rom-com, superhero, adventure, that horror.
I love movies. I love movies. My favorite movie trilogy is Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, Before Midnight. I don't know if you heard of
Okay, I don't
those.
know those. I don't know those.
Okay, so I don't know what that genre would be. It's just them. Like, it's Richard Linklater movies. So I
Okay.
guess kind of like B movie, is B movies the word? Alternative movies, but a lot of conversation. I like
Okay.
movies where it gets into the minutia of things, like
Okay.
conversations. It goes really slow, but I like it because I feel like I'm like there with them. I don't know how to
All
describe
right. All right.
that.
I will totally have to check that out and
Oh,
look that up.
totally. Yeah.
I'm totally gonna do. All right, so now this one, I'm loving to figure out what your answer is because you had the homestead. Okay, so imagine it's a rainy weekend day, like a Saturday morning. There's nothing on your to-do list. You don't have any commitments. There's no errands. There's no chores that need to be done. So then, what are you doing? Do you wake up and make breakfast for the family? Are you sleeping in and blowing everybody off? Are you watching TV, reading a book, trying to get somebody to play a board game with you, or finding something around the house that needs to be done?
I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to be doing.
Tell me.
I am going to treat myself to an extra latte because I always allow myself that when it's a little humid outside.
Okay.
And I am going to work on this.
And are those is that the it's a crafting desk?
It's a
So
jigsaw puzzle.
a
I
jigsaw puzzle.
love jigsaw puzzles, and I love my perfect thing is either doing it with a latte in my hand and watching Real Housewives of, something something. Right now I'm watching Orange
Okay.
County.
Okay.
Or if it's later in the evening, right before dinner, I like it with Real Housewives of Orange County or something something, and a glass of Pinot Gris and a little dish of jalapeno puffy chips.
Whoa, I love that. Oh my gosh. So is it, I have a jigsaw question for you, right? A puzzle question for you. Is that a dedicated puzzle table then behind you? Because the problem with puzzles in my life is if I start them on like the dining room table or like, some sort of open table, then there's like a time limit because, if you
I
have people come over or
know.
whatever. Yeah.
Well, you can get mats apparently that you can carefully roll it up. I've seen it on
I've
Amazon.
seen
Someone
those
suggested. I'm
advertised.
like, I can't see because I have mine all in disarray. So I have like, I think it's best just to have a devoted. So this has moved around a lot. I just recently
Okay.
moved my office upstairs, so it's kind of been moving. So right now it's living there, and I'll probably be there for a while.
And is your puzzling method, do you start with the outside and the corners
Of
like a
course,
okay.
girl. As
There
best
are
as I
crazy people
can.
who don't. There are crazy. I don't know
I
if you've ever tried to do a puzzle with somebody who
know.
wants to start in a different way, but it's
Mostly,
disarming
yeah,
and
it's like it makes no logical sense, but it also depends on the puzzle. So sometimes I do weird ones and like the outside
yeah, if they're
pieces, they're
not
not,
right, if they're not a regular shape, and then you have to start with the colors. But I'm not going to pick one of those. I'm not going to pick one of those. I got to tell you, I need the corners. I need to find the corners.
Oh, yes.
All right, that is it, Kathy Stowell. Thank you so much for being a wonderful
Yeah.
guest on The Art of Imperfect
That
Adulting.
was so fun. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you for listening today. I hope that you enjoy the show. And before I go, I want to encourage you to become a bigger part of the conversation. Obviously. Subscribe wherever you're listening to the show. Listen to more episodes. That'd be great. Obvi again, please write a review and tell your friends about the show. That truly is a great help for getting the show in front of new people. Okay, but more fun for you yourself, head over to imperfectadulting.com and join the email community. You'll get some free stuff right away, and that way you'll begin to get the emails about the podcast. This includes the links for the special offers from the guests, and it's the only way to get that. Also, if you aren't in the mood to listen, I actually include an article directly in those emails. Whee! Now, if you love this and you crave more time with me, Amy, as a coach, a mentor, or just adultier adult, numero uno, check out The Village. If you have a story you want to share with the listeners, I'd love to hear from you. I have an open application. Just let me know you want it. And that's a wrap for today. Until next time, remember, the journey is the destination. Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, not me. Well, until just now, I did just say it. But what I want you to hear today is that if your adulting journey isn't going the way you expected, that may not mean that you're lost. It may just mean that you're on your way. This is Amy Stone, signing off. The Imperfect Adulting Podcast is created and produced by Amy Stone and Amy Says So. Anything expressed on this show is offered as entertainment, and the views of the guests may not always represent the ideas and viewpoints of the host. That's me. Amy does not intend or hold herself out to provide professional advice or recommendations of any kind. In the end, you and you alone need to make those kinds of decisions based on your personal and individual situation, needs, circumstances, and comfort level.